Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the CCWG new GTLD auction proceeds call held on Wednesday, the 8th of May, 2019. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to Erica Mann. Please begin.
Hi to everybody. Good morning for those who are still morning, and depending on the time zone you are in, good morning or whatever else suits you. I am. The roll call we don't do, so the number second on our agenda is the question whether anybody of you has an update concerning the conflict of interest declaration. Just give us a second. No, that's not the case. Okay, then let us move to item three, which is the update on status of outstanding action items. And the reminder how important it is to review regularly the CCWG already achieved agreements to date and the latest version of the templates, which you can find in the link that you see on the screen. Or if you can see the screen, then please check the email. It was mentioned there as well. And we had, just to brief you, we had a quite long discussion in the leadership team already last week because we had so many items which were outstanding and outstanding from the agreements we achieved in Kobe, but then many of the discussions, either small groups or obligations which were put forward to the leadership team. So many of these items we reviewed, and Marika and staff, like always, did an immense job in updating this. And I would like to ask Marika if she would like to give a brief overview where this information can be found, the things which we have achieved, and items which are still outstanding. Marika, can you do this, please?
Yes, so sure, Erica. This is Marika, and I'll just post in the chat the link to the wiki page and where we have all documents and templates posted. On there, you'll also see at the bottom, and I have to admit that we do need to update that document based on the last call you had. But we have a document there at the bottom that says a CCWG agreement based on review of comments. And what we've done there is basically to pull out of all the templates the different action items or agreements the group reached as it reviewed the comments that have been received. And as you go through that list, we've also tried to kind of assign who those different agreements or action items belong to. And as Erica noted, we started working with the leadership team through those items that specifically sit with the leadership team. You know, staff is also following up on its action items. But there are quite a number of those in there that the group will need to come back to once we really start working on producing the final report, because there are a couple of areas where we basically indicated that the CCWG would basically review that further when it would come to the drafting of the final report. There are a number of areas where proposed language will need to be inserted, and of course that will need to be reviewed by the group as well. But I think in the meantime, it would be really good for you to review that document and already take in the work that's ahead. And if you have any input or suggestions on any of these items, of course to come forward and put those forward. I think for a number of those, your staff will take them on in producing a next version of the report, reflecting the different comments. And as Erica noted, I think in the next couple of days, you'll also see follow-up on some of the items that leadership and staff have taken on. But we hope in that way we're able to document the different items that are outstanding and also clearly demonstrate to the broader community what action the CCWG has taken as a result of the review of public comments received.
Thank you, Marika. I'm just looking at the chat room and checking whether somebody wants to make a question or wants to make a comment. Seems to be not the case. So please be so kind to review this. It's still a work in progress. And there's some items, even we as the leadership, which we committed ourselves to fulfill by today, we haven't done yet, just because both Ching and I, we were traveling so intensively and it was just incredible hard to get this all done. By the way, Ching, you had birthday. Happy birthday to you. Have a great new year. So the two of us, we were traveling so much and stuff the same, but it's primarily Ching and my role to review this. And there's some items which we just haven't managed. So apologies for this as well. But please be so kind and check this list. It's a great overview and it gives us a good reminder about the topics we committed to do or we already did. So if there's no question I can't see, happy birthdays are coming in for Ching, but nothing related to this topic. Then I believe we can move to the next item. Which is already the FAO. Is this correct, Marika?
Or do we? Yeah, this is Marika.
Yeah, the leadership team, I don't think so. There's much we have to do, with the exception what I just said. So please be so kind and introduce the item.
Yeah, thank you, Erica. So this is Marika again. So I hope you've seen that staff posted on the mailing list, and I'm also posting it in the chat again, where you can find these the frequently asked questions documents. There are two of those. You know, one of them focuses on the input that has been received to date from the board, and the other one focuses on the input that has been received from ICANN.org in relation to legal and fiduciary requirements. So we've tried to kind of translate that into a questions document and a question and answers document, which will hopefully make it easier to parse the information that, especially in the case of the board, has been received in various letters and bringing it all together in one document. So the hope is that you all take an opportunity now to review this information, so you're all aware of what information and input has already been provided, but also use it as an opportunity to identify any follow-up or clarifying questions you may have. I know both the board liaisons and Sam and Xavier have been really good as well about providing input during our calls and on the spot. But if there is anything that you believe is missing or is not clear, or where you have a follow-up question, please make sure to identify that sooner rather than later, so we can make sure to get that, obtain that information and add it to the FAQ, so they can as well serve as a resource as we go through reviewing the different charter questions and eventually as well the final report, to make sure that the recommendations are not in conflict with requirements that have been indicated previously, or the group is also aware should there be a conflict with board input that has been provided on a number of the topics.
So, Erika, thank you so much, Marika. Just a reminder, maybe because some of us are relatively new in this group. So let me just give you a little bit of background. So we had from the very beginning, there were questions which came up which had a quite legal nature. And then there were questions which related to the obligation the board has to fulfill in being a part of this CCWG auction proceeds exercise in the future, in particular the fiduciary obligation and the judiciary obligation. So what we did, we had many questions which we put forward to legal and to the board. Quite often this was done actually even in exchanging letters. And instead of raising the question only orally during the discussions. And we have, and both entities provided us actually with quite frequent with answers. So what was very difficult for us when we now had to review all these comments to understand how they relate to the answers we already received. So for you, it will be extremely good, in particular those that joined, were not part of this exercise from the very beginning, just to review these two template stuff provided, which is extremely helpful. And there's nothing new in there. It's all what was already said in the replies we received from Sam or from Xavier or from the board. All is included in there. It's just in a different format. Instead of a lengthy explanation and a lengthy document, it is now broken down and relates to the different question. And so far, it is extremely helpful. And thank you so much, Marika and Joke and everybody else who was involved in doing this. Checking the chat room and the participants, nothing I can see. So no comment. It looks like it is okay. And it looks like the purpose of these two documents is well understood. Again, thank you so much. Then let's move to the next item, which is the comment concerning charter question two. And there we had, if you remember, a small group working on it, which was Marilyn, Elliot, Jonathan, Alan, and Maureen to develop draft language for conclusion. We do have a draft language. Who is wants to introduce the topic and present us with the final language you are recommending? I believe this.
Erica, this is Marika. If I can just, you know, before someone from the small group speaks, just note that I've just started sharing my screen, which has the language that was put forward or developed by the small team, and in red, you see an addition that Wanda proposed on the mailing list. I think I saw someone, one person responding in support of that, but it may be worth as well for the group to look at that and see if they're happy to support the addition and, of course, the overall language as well.
Marika, why don't you then read the complete text, and then I will check if somebody from the small group would want to say something in addition, or if we just can accept the document, the text as it is. Just please be so kind to me. Some people may have difficulty in seeing it well on the screen.
Sure, Erica. So this is Marika, and to give a little bit of background for those that may be new to this or may not recall where this language comes from, but there were a number of comments that spoke to the issue of, you know, how to distinguish between, you know, what belongs within ICANN's operational budget and you know, what may have been funded on a more exceptional basis and might still be qualifying for auction proceeds, and how to address that in guidance that is to be provided to evaluators. So the language that you see here is basically the outcome of the small group that looked at the comments that were provided, as well factored in the discussions that the CCWG had on this topic. And I think someone needs to mute their line.
Hello?
Someone wants to speak? Okay, I think the line is muted.
No, I don't think so. Somebody wants to speak. Somebody is not unmuted.
Yeah. I think they found a line. So the proposed guidance to evaluators, and again, this would be included in the appropriate section in the final report, and I think this is part of the kind of implementation guidance that will be provided, that, you know, evaluators may need to differentiate between what is in the regular ICANN operational budget and what has been funded on a more exceptional basis. This will be a determination that needs to be made by the evaluators in line with the legal and fiduciary requirements. Consistency with the ICANN mission is a necessary but not sufficient condition for funding. Evaluators should specifically consider the scope and impact of the proposed project in light of the constraints otherwise imposed. And then the group also reviewed additional language that should be included in relation to the preamble to the annex with examples to also provide that context. And that language would be, a consistency with the ICANN mission is a necessary but not sufficient condition for funding. Evaluators should specifically consider the scope and impact of the proposed project in light of the overall purpose of the auction proceeds and constraints otherwise imposed. Examples provided are specifically intended to be illustrative, not definitive. And then Vanna had suggested that to that last sentence, the following words would be added. So it would read, examples provided are specifically intended to be illustrative, not definitive, and openness to innovation and the future of internet shall guide evaluators.
Okay, thank you so much. This is Erica. Somebody from the small group, would you love to make some comments concerning this work you have done, or is there nothing you would like to add?
Erica, this is Maureen Hilliard. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Okay, thank you.
Are you, Maureen, are you on audio only? Can you see the screen or not?
Yes, I can see the screen. I was looking through the participants, and I sort of like noticed that I can't find anyone else from our group who's there. But I actually sort of I must admit I sort of like had very intermittent sort of involvement in the development of this statement, which I actually do agree with, of course. And I also agreed with the inclusion of Vanda's statement within the statement, because it did actually reflect what we had actually earlier discussed. And when they're looking at how evaluators might look at scope and impact, for example, and I think that it would be a good addition to make into the statement. But apart from that, I thought there might be, the others might be here who might add something, but as far as I'm concerned, I quite like the statement. Thank you.
Erica, thank you, Maureen. I believe Jonathan is with us, but...
Jonathan.
Yeah, I saw him. I can't find him in a moment. So, no, there he is still. And Marilyn has her hand up. I can't even find Marilyn. I was checking where she is. Marilyn, please go ahead.
I think that's because I'm MSK'd on the sign-in list.
Interesting. I will check again.
Not to be mysterious, but if no one can find me as Marilyn, I'm usually MSK'd. I'd like to hear from Jonathan as well. I think we're like 99% there. There is a phrase we included that I don't really fully, I think I understand it, but I just want to be make sure that all of us understand it, and it reads, and constraints otherwise imposed. That may be clear to the CCWG AP members understanding the legal implications, et cetera. But it's a kind of a strange phrase to include here without perhaps a footnote that clarifies some examples, such as the legal requirements or other requirements. Because right now it just says constraints otherwise imposed. As to the addition, yes, that would help a great deal. Thank you for adding that parenthetical. As to the addition, I'm generally in support of it, but I think we have to always remember that we are trying to remain true to the ICANN mission, even if broadly interpreted. So I'm okay with the addition, as long as we're clear that we're not trying to expand the mission of ICANN through the use of these funds.
Erica, thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. You have dogs in your background. I like the noise.
Those aren't my dogs. They're somebody else's.
I was wondering. Jonathan, is there something you would like to add? Maybe he can't hear us.
Hi, Erica. I can hear you, but I'm in a public place, so it's more difficult for me to contribute by talking now. So I think there's nothing additional to add for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. So coming back to the point Marilyn raised, I was wondering about this as well. So I believe the first we can solve easily, and somebody was already typing. So I would make legal and fiduciary requirements. We can put this in the bracket. So this should be easily solvable. The last one, I understand the reasoning why it is recommendable to add something in relation to the future of the internet as a whole, so that it shall guide evaluators as well. There is this tricky part, and Marilyn pointed out to it, that of course the constraints will override very likely any evaluation future evaluators will do with regard to the open internet in case there is a clash to the nature of the legal nature to ICANN. So maybe we just have to twist the last language a little bit. I definitely would recommend to end after the sentence "not definitive" and then add a new sentence instead of just continuing. This sounds a little bit strange. And then maybe one could say something a little bit lighter than it is drafted right now. Openness to innovation and the development or the future of the internet shall be part of the evaluation evaluators will do. Something like this, just to give a little bit more context. And somebody will just have to look into it and do a good drafting and a good English language so it sounds good. So what I would recommend, I don't think so we need to talk about it because it looks like we have an understanding here. I'm just looking at the chat room if somebody is completely opposing this language, because right now I just see that we need to balance the language with the constraints I can will have even in the future, the legal and the fiduciary constraints, and then we need to be ensure that the request for evaluators to take the nature of the internet into consideration as well is well understood, and it's not leading to an open-ended tenders in the future which have no connection to ICANN. So somebody just needs to do some good language drafted. And that's all. Yes, let me check openness to innovation and the future of internet may be part of the evaluation consideration. I think it can be, shall be always part, but I don't think so we should say it shall be always part of the consideration. We just need to do a good drafting so that it's well understood what we want to say here. I'm just... Yes. Checking with Wanda, if Wanda feels, because she was putting forward this language, if she is fine in that we are recommending to redraft the sentence a little bit. Wanda, are you okay with this? And Maureen?
Let me explain, because I typed into the chat, it's Marilyn. I really can't accept the word shall. Having worked so much in the UN environment, the word shall or should is definitively instructive. May is a possibility, but when you use must, shall, or should, then you're basically saying that has to be included. And I'm not comfortable with our with our examination of the implication, we could in fact flood the application process with all sorts of applications which are worthwhile, but they're not close enough to the ICANN mission.
Yeah, Marilyn, well understood. It's Erica, totally agree. But that's why we need to do some reviewing of this last sentence. I believe we have an understanding what Wanda and those who recommended this want to achieve. We still have no agreement how it shall be phrased. So that's all which we are need to work on. And what I like to do, instead of doing this right now on the fly, just give it back to the small group. And please be so kind, just review this last, sort this out, please, and try to come back to us, and then we can finalize this topic. Is this okay with you?
Erica, this is Marika. Note that we have a couple of people in the queue. I don't know if you're seeing the hands, but we have Sam and Jonathan that
I'm already totally, have the hand up. Hold on. I'm totally lost in seeing this, I must admit, on this new screen. So yes, I see Sam. I saw Marika, this was you. Sam, please. Sam, can you hear us?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Sorry, had trouble coming off of mute. I wanted to talk about some of the language in the first section on the proposed guidance to evaluators. From the drafting team on this, was there any assumption of whether this would be something assigned to the independent evaluators versus kind of the more administrative check? Because this, putting the onus on, for example, the independent group of people who will be evaluating the applications to then assess things against ICANN's operating budget and what's been funded and what hasn't, looking at that at a historical view, that seems to be a very objective test in some ways that actually spells out a lot of detail, and there's a lot of opportunity to maybe get it wrong if you don't understand what you're looking at. And so I wanted to understand if there was flexibility in this language to make sure that this was just part of the evaluation process as a whole, looking at it at both the administrative and then the substantive level of, you know, of who within the independent, you know, evaluators determined should get the funds, or if this is something that the drafters saw as reserved to the independent route, because I think from the ICANN org side, we might have some inputs we want to put in based on how that falls out.
Erica, Sam, that's actually a good point you are raising. I'm just checking the chat room if somebody else would like to talk. I can't see it, but again, I might not identify it right. Apologies in this case. So what I think you raise a very valid point, because it is in true, it's not the role of the evaluators actually to to check whether a request which comes in Marika, thank you so much, whether it is touching on an existing operational budget and how to respond to this. I agree, it's a little bit strange, but I see Jonathan and Marilyn would like to say something. So Jonathan, maybe first, and then Marilyn, if you have a chance to talk now. Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. Actually, I was simply going to offer to edit based on Marilyn's previous input. Sam's obviously added another dimension to it now. I'm not sure I can respond completely to Sam's point. I'm not sure I understand it completely yet. So I don't know how we fix this. It's probably better that we try another short session with the drafting group and with Sam participating in that, maybe the most practical way to deal with it, because I'll defer to others if there's a better way of trying to get past this little impasse now. Thanks.
Yeah, it's Erica. I agree, Jonathan. That's maybe the best proposal, to put this back to the small group, and you have a call with Sam to sort this out and to get this right. But let me, Marilyn, and then I believe Xavier as well. Marilyn, please.
Thanks, Marilyn speaking. I want to be really both clear here and give some examples without being negative. I am going to be express concerns that at least the BC and others in the CSG constituencies have about ICANN.org being, I'm going to say, in a position of being judgmental and perhaps overly restrictive and overly interpretive of what they think is should be funded. And so my examples include the fact that significant cuts have been made in community outreach program, the special projects, et cetera, while funding has gone off to, in the ICANN budget, has gone off to other activities that are also, were supported in the budget comments. But I just wanna reinforce the idea that just because a form of community outreach activities at a limited level is funded in the ICANN budget, that should not eliminate the opportunity for applications that benefit the broader community. So I want to be careful that we're not going into a check-the-box approach where the ICANN.org is put in a very difficult position of saying, oh, well, we have 3 examples, so therefore, independent group, you should exclude other similar but different examples of community activities.
Yeah, it's Erica. Marilyn, I believe that's well understood. So that was the purpose for this group to come up actually with this language because of exactly what you just described. But the question then remains, of course, shall it be the role of evaluators to do this work? And are they actually able to do it and the basis of it? That's what I understood from Sam, which I believe it's a reasonable question to put forward to this group and in particular to the group who was working on this language. So I believe giving it back to you and having a, you know, reviewing the current text in the light of what Sam said, without neglecting what the purpose of this whole exercise is and the purpose of what you just said, I believe would have some value. But let me ask Xavier, are you still on, Xavier?
Yes, I am. Can Please. You hear me, Erica?
Yes, I can. Strangely, I don't know why I don't understand the symbols of who raised hands or not. Somehow I'm, apparently I lack this capacity to follow this stuff. Xavier, go ahead. I'm going on mute.
Thank you, Erica. Just wanted to jump in because until Marilyn just spoke, I think there was confusion, but now I understand the concern that Marilyn was pointing out, which makes complete sense. The concern being that ICANN staff, if doing this check, would also propose or suggest an opinion as to whether the activity should or should not be considered eligible. So I think that we can look at it from a very practical standpoint. If the evaluators would be in charge of checking whether an activity is already in ICANN's operating plan, they would not be able to do it without even asking ICANN.org. So imagine practically how that would be done. They would have to go to documents that ICANN.org produces, and as Sam indicated, interpreting or reading or trying to figure out whether or not that activity is or is not included in it. It may not be always explicit, depending on how the activity is formulated. So inevitably, at some point, ICANN.org is going to have to make that assessment and provide feedback. Now, I think that the way I understood this, which makes complete sense to do, was that someone needs to check whether or not that activity is included. It's not about whether the proposed activity should not be considered. It's about factually, is there already something done or not in ICANN operating plan relative to that same activity? So I think that this is something that ICANN org has to do one way or the other. Even if the evaluators are in charge of it, ICANN org will have to do it. And offer that information factually, without opinions, factually, and substantiate that factual feedback so that then the evaluators can take that into account. And I think that if the factual, tangible, which is not an opinion, it's just facts, feedback is required, which it should, then it can and should be performed by ICANN org. So that then the evaluators can take it into account and challenge it possibly if they, you know, if there's doubts about it, that's fine. But I think that if we limit what ICANN org does to the checking of factual information, there's no opinions about it. It's either in or out, in quotes. I'll stop here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Xavier, for the additional comment. It's Erica. There's one other aspect to it as well. Just because something is cut and a new request comes in through the CCWG auction proceed, the future mechanism, doesn't mean because it was cut, it has to be supplemented now out of this fund, because then maybe there were other reasons to cut it. Maybe it's not worthwhile to continue it. So there are many reasons. So I believe it would be good to give it back to the small group. And in the light of the discussion we just had, a further exchange, Jonathan recommended to have with Sam and very likely Xavier. We would just like you to then rephrase and reframe it a little bit in a different way, keeping Marilyn's concern into consideration as well. Is this fine with the small group? Can we give this band back to you? Okay, looks like it. Okay, so we do have an action item here. Marika, would you be so kind just to rephrase the action item, and then so we have a common understanding, and then we can move forward.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So I think the action item here is for the small team that worked on this original language together with Sam and Xavier to review the input that was received during this call and come back to the full team with possible proposed edits to this language.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, need to check the chat room as well. Ching made just a recommendation. There should be a declare of interest process built in for the fund applicants, meaning that they will have to declare if they receive fund from ICANN or from other sources. It has to be done anyway. Yeah. And then Judith has a hand up. Apologies, Judith. Judith, please.
Yes, this is Judith Helsing for the record. I think we want to also clarify what Mallow was saying and what Xavier was saying is that when they ask ICANN.org if this is funded, they ask more specifically, so that Mallow's concerned that, oh, is outreach funded? It's not getting classified as outreach. It gets classified as what particular part of the outreach that applicant had proposed. And not that is classified in broader terms as outreach. And that way, I think it can the independent panel can have a better idea of what's funded, what's not. And maybe they would be. I guess my suggestion is that they don't say put things in broader categories and asking ICANN, is this funded, but putting in the specific categories so that a factual answer can then, they can have a better idea. I don't know if that's clear.
Yeah, but we want to keep in mind as well that of course we don't want to, if everything will be funded out of the auction proceeds in the future, which is cut by the operational budget, then we practically only supplementing the operational budget. So the original purpose of this fund was to do something new and something fresh. So, I mean, it's just something to keep in mind. So it's good for the evaluators always to balance, is this what was cut? Is it by, shall it be supplemented in a new project, which is important and relevant to sustain the work of the community work? Or is it just, you know, was it reasonably cut and there was no need to supplement it? So I believe there's something you have to work on to take all these points which were just mentioned into consideration. Marilyn, I just checked, is supporting as well that it goes back to the small group, and she's supporting Jonathan's suggestion as well. So I believe we have an understanding. So let it give back this whole work to the small group, and Marika already summarized the action item. And with this, I do a final check. Savi, I believe that's an old hint, and we can move forward. Okay, great. What is happening to the screen right now?
Erica, this is Marika. I stopped sharing my screen because we finished on that item.
Oh, good.
So we just go back to the agenda, and once we get to the next agenda, I'll put up the relevant document.
Thank you so much. Okay, so we finalized item four, charter question in relation to charter question two, and then we do have a review of comments, and we are now moving to item four, and the first charter question would be 11, if I understand the agenda well. So let's go to this charter question. Or do you want to make a general comment first, Marika, related to the review of comments in which you have captured in the templates? I don't believe we need to do this, huh? But I am asking you.
Yeah, this is Marika. No, I think we can just go with the agenda, and I can put up the template for
charter
question 11.
Exactly. Put up the point item 11. Okay, I can see it. Thank you so much, Marika. Please make an explanation, introduction to the item, and the recommendation we have received so far from the leadership team. Thank you so much.
Sure, Erica. So this is Marika. So the charter question 11 the question is, should a review mechanism be put in place to address possible adjustments to the framework following the completion of the CCWG's work and implementation of the framework? Should changes occur that affect the original recommendations? For example, changes to legal and fiduciary requirements and or changes to ICANN's mission? So our two recommendations and one recommendation in relation to the guidance for the implementation phase that were provided in relation to this charter question. And you can see them here up on the screen. I'll just read them out so everyone's clear on those. So the first preliminary recommendation number 9 says, as a standard element of program operations, an internal review of the mechanism should take place at regular intervals to identify areas for improvement and allow for minor adjustments in program management and operations. And then the second recommendation notes that there should be a process to evaluate whether the program is effectively serving the identified goals and whether allocation of funds is having the intended impact. And then there was also guidance for the implementation phase provided that notes the response provided to this charter question should guide the development of the review framework during the implementation phase. And if we then look at the comments that required further consideration, and again, as a reminder, what you see now on the screen is a summarized version in which staff and leadership tried to digest the main gist of the comments for the group's consideration. But of course, You're all expected to have reviewed the full comments, which you can also find further below in this document. So the first comment is from the NCSG. The suggestion from the commenter is that the CCWG should consider including stronger language in response to Charter Question 11 concerning the role of the ICANN community, as well as stronger procedures for monitoring and evaluation. The leadership recommendation here is that, you know, the clarify the role of the community, and it notes also that, you know, previous made leadership recommendations, and it may be worth here as well reminding the group that there is still an outstanding action item that the leadership team is working on together with Alan Greenberg on developing a proposed proposal or proposals for how community engagement should look or could look. And then the leadership also know that should check whether this should be done in this phase or the next, which would be the implementation phase.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Marika. It's Erika. To remind you, during our discussions over the last years, the topic came up frequently. And in the comments, we receive actually many communities putting forward some kind of language in relation to the question whether there shall be and how in involvement in the evaluation or any kind of process from the community can be ensured in the future. So we want to get this right. I believe, and this is my quite personal opinion, I believe it is important to have the community involved. But it's maybe much more difficult to define how this can be done. And I mentioned many times that I was involved and I'm still involved in big funds, which are always involving certain parts of certain communities. For example, if you remember, we had the exchange with the European Commission and the European Investment Bank during our first phase, when we had discussions with outside experts. And they have set up a mechanism for review. And this mechanism for review involves different partners who are part of the this whole funding exercise. And since the community is a partner in different ways to ICANN, it is, I believe, absolutely crucial to have this engagement and the involvement in an evaluation process. But the question here is, how shall it be done? So the first goal is something the leadership team is working on with Alan, and we just haven't had the time to put forward the language we are recommending. So we will have to wait maybe until our next call to hopefully Alan and the leadership team will find the time to finalize the proposal, which we then would want to put forward to you. And the second question, of course, it's a little bit more practical, and that's the question whether it shall be done right now or shall it be done in the implementation phase. I believe we need to have a general recommendation about the importance of the involvement and the engagement from the community, but then how it will be done, depending on the concrete mechanism we will have to select in the future. The nature might change if it is part of the in-house of ICANN or if it is working in combination with a different entity. In both cases, the nature might change a little bit. So maybe we want to say this then shall be done by in the next phase, the implementation phase. So I'm just want to check if there are somebody who wants to make some comments. There is Marilyn. If you want to speak, please do so. Otherwise, I'm reading what you have written. Discussion about how the community might support needs more discussion than a single person, regardless of which community. Yeah, that's pretty much what I just said. We will just make a proposal. That's we agreed upon last time in our discussion, Marilyn. But yes, it has to be put forward to this group, and then the group can decide. And if you're not happy about the language, we can always build a bigger, small group.
Erica.
Yes, please, Marilyn, go ahead.
Thanks. I understand I missed a call, but I don't understand why the leadership team would anoint a single representative from only one group to engage in this development.
Because nobody else wanted to join. Everybody, I believe, is flooded with work. Just a practical reason. There's nothing else behind it, Marilyn.
Yeah, that's not actually the issue of behind it. The issue is inclusiveness of input. So, we can address this in two ways. One is, how soon will there be a mini draft that others can comment on? I will just say, as the CSG representative, I can't really go back and tell the CSG that this is an exclusionary process. So if you, at least there's a date where there's going to be some ideas and suggestions, then I can go back and say, here's when we'll have a draft to respond to.
Yeah, that's clear, Marilyn. It's Erica, absolutely. We wanted to have this done last week. We just couldn't manage. That's all. So, Ellen, I see you on the. I see you here now. I believe we can do this next week, or maybe even this week, and then can send it to the group. And hopefully next week. Ellen, would this be okay for you? If somebody else wants to join the small group, this really tiny small group, always feel free, Marilyn. If in case you want to join, you're more than welcome. Ellen, can you talk?
Yes, sorry. I just joined, so I'm not quite sure what you're talking about.
Ellen, it's the work we were supposed to do, you and the small and the leadership team, in reviewing language for how the engagement of the community can be done for evaluation purposes.
I'm available if anyone wants to work with me.
Ellen, we sent you a proposal that we, so yeah, that's fine. Oh, so can we
sorry,
get
I, sorry, that I must have missed.
No
I will,
problem.
I'll pull it out then.
Okay.
Or we'll talk after this meeting.
No, it's not. I just see Marika coming in. It's not, you haven't even seen it yet. It's still in discussion. So, apologies.
Okay.
So I will send you later the proposal. You can review it, and I'm just asking Marilyn now, and anybody else who would love to join the work of the small group. Marilyn, would you like to join?
Sorry, Erica, I'm happy. Whoops, can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
I'm happy to join, or I'm happy to just provide comments. My comment was just, I can't go back to the CSG and say this work is being done. We have no insight into it. We don't have a date. We don't have a draft. So either I can join the group or I can wait for whatever's provided and then engage on behalf of the CSG in reviewing it quickly and getting comments back from the three constituencies.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's Erica. Yes, I totally understand this. So let us get this done. Apologies to everybody for the confusion. So what we will do, we will finalize this in the micro team, Ellen, and just the leadership team, send it to all of you, and then you have the time to review it. Just let's keep it simple. Back to you, Marika, and please just summarize the action item and then let us move forward.
Thanks, Erica. This is Marika. I'm trying to take some live notes as well that will reflect in the template, as you can see on the screen. So I try to reflect some of the points that you made, and also noted that this is linked to the work that's happening in relation to in response to other comments that were made concerning the role of the community. So I've made a note here that, you know, this is likely to await the outcome of that small team work, to see whether anything further needs to be done or whether this comment is sufficiently addressed. You also noted that it may be worth including a general comment in the final report that notes that, you know, depending on the mechanism chosen, the review framework may need to be adjusted to ensure that, you know, significantly or sufficiently strong procedures for monitoring and evaluation are in place. So if everyone's happy with that, I'll just also note that as a clarification staff will make in the proposed language for the final report. Then for the next item, our next comment comes from the ICANN board. The suggestion is that the CCWG should consider clarifying that if a review indicates a need for fundamental changes to the mechanism or the purposes of the use of funds, those would be significant changes for which additional community input would be required. And the leadership recommendation here is to integrate language that recommends requesting community input after proposed significant change after review, and notes as well that significant may need to get defined.
Erica, thank you so much, Marika, for introducing this item. I just noted in the chat room, because I saw that Marilyn and Maureen actually noted that in the chat room, they would be willing to participate in the small group. So I recommend we forward the text, the draft text to Marilyn and to Maureen as well. So we have then Alan, Marilyn and Maureen in working in the small group with the leadership team. Okay, I still see somebody typing here. Marika, is this the template you want to show us, or is this still what I see here, something else than you were just talking about?
No, what you see me typing is I'm just catching up on what we discussed under common number 3, but for the group's purpose, we're in common number 7, which you see right below that. I'll highlight that here on the screen. So that's what we're discussing now.
Okay. So on the screen, we see the two, you're still typing in relation to the discussion we just had, and then comment 7 is the new one. Do we have any comment here? Or I believe that's an item we can park. I don't believe there's anything actually we have to do, but I want to see if somebody else want to make a comment here. So just maybe to read it again, Marika, maybe you can just read this comment again and the task which we have, clarify the task clearly, what we have for our today's discussion today.
Yeah, this is Marika. So a comment from the ICANN board suggests that the CCWG should consider clarifying that if a review indicates a need for fundamental changes to the mechanism or the purposes of the use of funds, those would be significant changes for which additional community input would be required. So I think for the group it's to discuss, you know, how should that, you know, if the group agrees that indeed that will be the approach or the process, the group may want to clarify how that is expected to happen, or, you know, maybe it's sufficient to just state that appropriate community processes would need to be used to affect any or recommend any kind of changes, or whatever, however detailed the group wants to be in that regard.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marika, for clarifying it again. So just, Xavier, is this an old hand or a new hand? Xavier?
Sorry, it's an old hand, sorry.
Okay, thank you so much. Just maybe to give some context to this question. So what happened frequently in these kind of review processes, and everybody who is involved in such kind of review processes will know what I'm talking about. So what happens frequently that in a review, one identifies that either the program is not working well, the goal is not really met well, or the project's application are 80, 70, 90% out of scope. So it's difficult to identify projects which are valuable under the scope definition and the constraint definition, actually, to select good projects. So this is something which happens actually in review processes frequently. And then the questions always arises, is the definition, the original definition of the of what can be funded and how it shall it be funded, is this correct? Or is maybe the environment one is targeting for projects, maybe it shifted? Maybe the total environment in what shall be funded totally shifted. This is something which happens frequently. Now, I notice more from the research environment where project ideas were scoped, but then nobody actually came forward with concrete project applications. And so sometimes the ideas of those who are sketching out scoping project environment is sometimes outside of the reality. These kind of things can happen. So in a review process, this will be evaluated, and then somebody needs, typically the review team needs to bring forward ideas how to fix it. So here the question is, how this clarification of a process with regard to a review, how it shall be done. So in case there are fundamental changes recommended. And so I just wondering if somebody of you would like to make a comment here. No? So either the topic is not totally clear, or you believe we shall maybe park this item and review this topic after we have selected the mechanism and we have clarified our approach to the review process a little bit more, and then we can come back to this point.
Erica, it's Marilyn.
Marilyn, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just make a quick comment. I appreciate everything you just said. It's very consistent with my experience as well. And I think we might want to, at least internally, distinguish between a assessment after the first round of submissions, not just those that are approved, but, you know, kind of assessing. So we called for 14 Johnny Appleseeds. That's a term that many will not understand, but, you know, we called for a certain, we established criteria. The applications actually that came in did not seem to understand the criteria, but a mild adjustment, which is improving the communications and strengthening the awareness of criteria, that's a mild adjustment in my view, versus after a period of 1 to 3 years of projects, whether those projects have been fulfilling the objectives and contributing to the overall mission that was established. So a mild adjustment and correction of communication and clarifying information, that's one thing. And that I think is definitely needed at the assessment period of what do you get in response to your first call? Not those who are approved, but those who are submitting. But that shouldn't require a major that shouldn't be a major change. That's a adjustment approach. The larger issue, I think, that you're identifying is, but we also need to have a review process of the effectiveness of the actual projects that are funded in whether they're achieving their defined objectives, and those objectives were accepted by the approving entity, whatever it turns out to be. So two phases to this, at least.
Yeah.
One very light and doesn't take, you know, a major, major change, but it does take a change in communications. The second is would require actually an evaluation process and would be possibly rather expensive, not expensive, but rather important to undertake and should be factored into, you know, the overall cost for the entity.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's Erica, and of course it relates back as well to the role of the community, because I remember Elliot well, he's not with us today, but he was always keen that the community is engaged in this review process as well, and this evaluation process. And I think he's right, there needs to be a role clarified. So what we have to do here, I believe that's an item we have to definitely spend a little bit more time, and we can't do this in this big group. I don't want to create millions of small groups, because I know we all have so much to do, so this is not going to work neither. So maybe what we can do, maybe we need to get an order, to do order in place, because I believe everything we recommend here will relate to the mechanism and we will have to select at the end of our exercise as well. There will be differences. And I have seen this in practice. As soon as you change the environment, the funding environment, the all related processes to some degree change as well. So I believe you're right. There are incremental changes, and then there are major changes maybe needed in case something is not working. Either it's not working because none of the projects fulfill their role, or it is not working because the scoping of the ideas for funds is not actually met with concrete proposals. So there's something which we will have to discuss again. I'm just puzzling a little bit how we can put this item forward. So do we want to park it? And what there's something we could do maybe for those who worked on similar in similar evaluation and review processes for before. Maybe we can do a quick check and look into the best practices we have used in different environments, and maybe we can just send this forward to staff, and then we can do a evaluation how these kind of best practices already work, and maybe we can do a paste and copy of good ideas which already exist instead of inventing something completely new. And we can have a Google document, and then we can just check, and then we can finalize this topic item. Marika, I believe you want to say something.
Erica. This is Marika. I just know that I think this also probably aligns to the previous item and the role of the community. So I'm wondering if it's helpful, because I think that there are two different aspects here. You know, one kind of goes around the review, and I think some of that may already be addressed in the recommendations itself that talk about, you know, on the one hand, you have the review of the actual projects. And on the other hand, of course, you have a more overall review of you know, how is the mechanism functioning? Is it, you know, delivering on, you know, the objectives that were set out by the group? And now, I think, as Marilyn notes, you know, there may be small changes that are done on a more ongoing basis as kind of minor improvements, and that may not require a, you know, whole-scale review process. But then there's indeed, you know, probably a need or a desire after a certain amount of time to have a more full-scale review of the program. But there's also the question indeed of the role of the community in that, and how you know, those changes would be kind of, how would they go through a community process before they would get to the board for consideration. And I think that may also closely align with, you know, the item we spoke about previously, this the kind of proposals around, you know, the role of the community. And I think we've spoken before about a kind of, you know, community advisory group or committee that might have different roles or responsibilities. And you know, one of those could be, you know, the responsibility for carrying out such a review, you know, using, I think, existing ICANN processes and procedures that are, I think, also applied for reviews in other contexts, for example, you know, policy reviews or structural reviews, where I think there is already a lot of experience. And so maybe the work of the development of that proposal would address to a certain degree or could address, you know, the board comment here, and then providing more details around, you know, what such a review would look like and what the role of the community would be to make sure that there's a, you know, robust process in place, or at least a recommendation in place for how that could be done. So maybe this is one where the group just needs to look back once you've done your work on the kind of agreeing on the role of the community in the context of the different aspects of the mechanism, and see whether that sufficiently addresses this comment, or whether you know, more work needs to be undertaken.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marika. Erika, I'd like to take this back to the leadership team just to talk about how we can get a hierarchy of order into the decision making we have to take here. Because I mean, there are so many facets to it which come up in different comments which we receive from the community and from others outside of the community during the public comment period. So we have to get an order, a hierarchy established in how we want to discuss it and how we want to approach it. There's the review, there's the role of the community, there's the evaluation process, there are the incremental changes which are practically need to be done continuously, and then there are the role of the evaluators, there's the role of the evaluation process and the role to the community, and major changes which may have to be made. So I believe we need to take this back to the leadership team just to clarify the hierarchy of decisions, the related comments we already received, and the related work which is already going on. For example, in this particular small group you were referring just to. So let's take this back. Let's build the hierarchy. And then I believe it will be much easier to approach this comment in hopefully fast and quick way. And we have to keep in mind, we need only to define what needs to be, what we need to scope and for our work, and then we need to put some language into the guidelines for the implementation team. So we don't have to do everything, but at least we want to scope the work which we have to do in a correct way, and then we want to scope the recommendation we want to make in the guidelines for the implementation team as well. Okay. Marika, I'm just checking if somebody is raising their hand. No further comments I see in the chat room. So I believe we have an understanding. Marika, do you want to quickly summarize the action item and then we can move forward? Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So what I've noted is that the agreement here is for the leadership team to propose a hierarchy for how to discuss and approach the different related items. Example, given the evaluation process, the role of the community review, and role of the evaluators.
Yes, and the intervention, the needed correction and intervention processes in case something is identified in the evaluation process. Or during the ongoing work is not going as expected in the right way. So the correction mechanism. Okay, if we have an understanding here, then I believe we can move forward. I'll let you finalize the typing, Marika, before you move to the next item. Just finalize it.
I'm done.
Okay, please. Then please be so kind and let us see the next topic and introduce the item, please.
Yes, if you give me 1 second, I'll just switch.
Absolutely.
Between documents.
Take the time.
If I'm not mistaken, I think next we're looking at, thank you, Andrea, sections 1 to 4. of the initial report. And as a reminder, those sections cover the executive summary, a description of the objective and next steps, a description of the methodology used by the CCWG, and a summary of the deliberations that led to the preliminary recommendations. So there were a couple of comments here received from the ICANN board. The first Marika, one here noting
Marika,
that...
Marika, it's Erica. Yeah? Can I disrupt you? It's yeah? not what I, at least what I can see on the screen right now. I just see the agenda.
Oh, Andrea, if you maybe can stop sharing the agenda. And
thank you so much. Thank you so much.
No problem. The comment from the board here, or the suggestion from the board, is that the CCWG should consider whether a second public comment period is required if material changes are made to the approach and options set forth.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is Erica. So the leadership team made no recommendation here, but I believe we will have to do this. If there are substantial changes, that's my personal opinion. I believe we have to need to have a second comment period. But please be so kind and let us know what you think about it. Comments, please.
And this is Marika. I can maybe provide a little bit of context here so people can think about it. And in the charter, the only required public comment periods are really on the initial reports, but there is an understanding that should between the initial report and the final report, there should, if there are material changes to the recommendations, there should be an opportunity for the community to comment on those. Of course, that could take various forms. You could, for example, only put out for public comment those aspects that you consider material changes. You could put out a whole proposed final report. The different approaches you could take if you believe indeed fundamental changes are made that require an opportunity for the community to opine or provide input on. Of course, it may not be possible to yet make that determination. And, of course, it may be good if people can give an indication if they think it's necessary. But presumably, you'll be able to see more clearly once you have your draft final report and take note of the changes that have been made to the recommendations to make this assessment on whether indeed it has substantially changed from what you recommended in the initial report to what is being proposed in the final report. So again, that's really a determination to meet to make for the group, and in due time make a decision about.
Thank you so much, Marika. It's Erica. Yes, I agree with what you just said, and it's maybe time to have a discussion in your community about this topic, and just see and test the mood there. Because if it's, again, a public comment period, of course, at least a full public comment period will, of course, delay the whole process again. So maybe there are recommendations from coming up in your constituency how to approach this topic. And so maybe it's just a discussion which you will you need to have. If I remember well, Marika, as well, there was a board recommendation related to this item. I just can't find it. I was looking for it, but I believe the board said if there are substantial changes, a new revised public comment period would have to be made. So, oh, there it is. You're just scanning it. Can you read this, please, the point from the board?
Yes, of course, Erica. This is Marika. So this is the literal text of the board comment, which notes that if the report changes significantly as a result of public comment, the board would encourage a second period of public comment to make sure that the community and beyond have opportunities to comment on any material changes to the approach and options set forth in this draft before submission to the chartering organizations for adoption.
Yeah, exactly. That was the point I was looking for. Thank you so much. And Marilyn is saying, yes, if there are substantial changes, yes, to a second comment period. How short are we allowed to be? It is better to address the substantial material changes rather than starting over, in my view. I do agree. Okay, is there in the current, there's somewhere recommended how short a second comment period can be, Marika? Is there something mentioned anywhere?
Yeah, this is Marika. I believe that the standard at this point in time is 40 days. I know there are some exceptions that are possible to that, especially in the context of PDPs and CCWGs. I'm not 100% sure what flexibility there is, but you know, obviously shortening time often makes it more difficult as well for groups to turn around. So it may also be a question for you to socialize with your respective groups. What would be reasonable if there is a desire to shorten that period? And again, we probably would need to check what we are allowed to do in that regard.
Thank you, Marika. Can we clarify this? Would you be able? So then, are two clarification processes probably needed? So one from staff, just to check the. How this is the second comment period is handled in different environments. You just mentioned PP. Maybe we can copy from this. I don't know if we or if CCWG environment needs to have their own set of rules. I just am not aware about this. So if you could please be so kind to check this, and then to all of us, we need to check with our respective group how they would see a second comment period. Wanda is writing in the chat room as well. She, we can ask, I believe, but my own opinion may be a short public period only for the material changes. So there's an overlap to what Marilyn is saying. So, okay, if there's nobody else, I think we can summarize this as an action item, what we have to do here, Marika, and then we can move forward on this topic. There's no decision we can take today, but we need to be clear about the path we want to take forward.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So this is Marika. The first agreement I have here is for staff to check what the requirements are in relation to the duration of another public comment period. And then the second one is the CCWG to check with respective groups whether a second comment period is desirable, and if so, you know, what the minimum duration should be.
Yeah, thank you so much. No further comments, no hands raised. Okay, let us continue, Marika, please. Next item, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So this is Marika. The next comment also from the ICANN board. The suggestion here is for the CCWD to clarify how the criteria outlined in section 4.3 are to be used in the evaluation purposes. And the CCWG to consider recommending that a specific application appeals process be built into the eventual application review mechanism. As with other grant-making programs, the appeals program could be limited in scope to abuses of the process only and be time-bound. This would give applicants opportunity to challenge for procedural faults without implicating ICANN's reconsideration or event independent review process. The CCWG should consider a recommendation on a bylaws change, specifically carving out individual funding decisions from the bylaws provided accountability mechanisms of reconsideration and independent review, similar to other existing exclusions.
Yeah, thank you so much, Marika. It's Erica. My recommendation would be here to build this into the hierarchy we have to build we have to build in the evaluation process, because that's part of the evaluation process. So it's a different animal, but it's still related to it. So the application review mechanism the board is talking here about needs to be built into it. So let's put this into as one of the items in the list of hierarchical topics we will have to discuss related to the whole evaluation process and the review process. And then let's come back to this item once we have done the list of this hierarchical list, once we have defined it. Because reconsideration is one part of it. And the appeals process is one part of it too. It's a different animal, but it's still part of the same hierarchy we have to build. And there is Marilyn in the chat room. I'm not sure I understand if there's an independent entity managing the application award evaluation process. They need to provide this. ICANN should be outside this if there's a truly independent mechanism. Absolutely. But there can be a conflict. So again, back to Marilyn, to the research environment where I have to deal with this. So there can be a conflict arising. So the original owner of the, so the evaluation owners of a reviewing the project and seeing a request for reconsideration coming in, they may provide an answer, but then there may arise a conflict, and the conflict needs to be sorted out somewhere in this whole in this whole organizational structure. And typically, it then goes back to either to the advisors. If advisors exist, or it has to be referred to somebody who is reviewing it, depending how the whole process is shaped. And this is what I understood from the board, how the board would love to have some kind of understanding how an appeal process can be done. So it's the appeal process, I believe, you were right, this has to go to the to this entity who is the evaluator's entity, which is handling the whole process. But then if there's a conflict, a further conflict, somehow it has to be scaled up somewhere. So that's at least my understanding. Marilyn, do you want to speak? Can you speak? Are you able to talk?
Sure. Just very quickly, I think we need to be really, really careful that we're not putting ICANN in a kind of a unforgiving loop. If we, the relationship of ICANN and ICANN board and ICANN org to getting involved in appeals, et cetera, I think needs to be taken into account and limited. The mechanism, if it's an independent mechanism, they need to have a independent appeals process. And reviewing whether that's effective could be part of the review process. But if we create a loop back to ICANN at every stage, then we're also going to tie ICANN up in these unlimited lawsuits that are going on right now in relation to just a few of the GTLDs as just one example. Something we don't want to do. We want these funds, they're supposed to be segregated. The appeals process should be proposed by whatever the mechanism is. It should be as totally independent as possible so that ICANN doesn't get implicated in lawsuits, appeals, etc.
It's Erica. Thank you, Marilyn. I agree. The independence is absolutely crucial. But then, in case there's a conflict, it needs to be the question at least arises: is there some kind of different involvement from a different entity possible? It could be even the community. Advise it kind of community advisory team, which we had discussed as well. So my recommendation is that we have noted your concern and I agree with them. So let's get this hierarchy right. Let's put in just the question the board is raising here, the concerns raised by Marika, by Marilyn, and then we will have to come back to this point, because I believe Marilyn is right. If we would just put in a recommendation that an independent application appeal process shall be created by the by whoever is in the future responsible for the evaluation process, then I believe this should be fine. We may have to say, in case there's a conflict arising, something else has to be done. I don't have an answer to it yet. But so let's put this in the let's put it first into the in the hierarchy, Marika, and then we can have to come back to this point again. Checking the chat room just to see if something new is coming up here. Yes,
Erica, please. we have hands up from Sam and then Alan.
Wonderful. Sam and Alan, yes. Thank you so much. Sam, please, and then Alan.
Thanks, Erica. This is Sam Eiser from ICANN Legal. I wanted to come in behind what Marilyn was saying, and I appreciate the point she was raising there. Just for other people on the call who might not have been through some of the experiences with ICANN, we have a history of when ICANN has empowered or selected an evaluation panel to do a certain process, that some of ICANN's work in that has actually become an issue that's been challenged either through reconsideration or IRP. That is the lesson that we've learned through the new GTLD program, for example, as we were commissioning various different panels to do different types of reviews, even though ICANN wasn't doing the review. And so, when we look at a process, even though, this is a process that we're developing within ICANN, the process of grant making itself, as Erica is flagged and as Marilyn is flagged, actually typically comes with an appeal process built in where the applicant can appeal to the evaluator to revisit their decision. And we see that as a very different level of appeal than looking at whether or not the ICANN board or ICANN staff violated its bylaws in taking a decision. So for example, when the board takes its decision on the CCWG recommendations and moves things forward to implementation, someone could challenge that decision on the basis of whether or not the board violated its bylaws. But we do think that there's value in for the individual application decisions and making sure that's handled in a process that's typical for these types of things. So that would be assigning the appeal process within the evaluation realm, which is how many other entities that do grant making do that. And so, as we walk through that, and I appreciate the high level statement that Erica was saying, we can also see where that interplays with the bylaws, because there might be some need to incorporate a specific statement that individual grant application decisions as made by the independent evaluator are not appropriate for challenge to the ICANN accountability process, while still maintaining the fact that the board and the organization have broader responsibilities. So this isn't about not having the appropriate responsibility and not owning the appropriate responsibility and being accountable, but making sure that we have the right accountability lines for the different types of decisions.
Thank you, Sam. That's really valuable and adds the flavor to what Marilyn just said. Thank you so much. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. A couple of things. First of all, as I listen to these discussions, I get the feeling that we are building what I would consider a typical ICANN process, that is one that is exceedingly convoluted, difficult to implement and costly to implement, with multiple passes and phases of everything. On a more general position, all of the funding type projects or funding type processes that I've been involved with. And I haven't been involved with a huge number, but I've been involved with quite a number over the years. I've never heard of one where you could appeal. You know, you put an application in, someone decides whether they're going to give you money or not, and that's a done deal. And I would, to the extent possible, minimize the opportunities for appeal, for having to convene panels, for making sure that we are not liable for lawsuits, and make that a condition of application. So I think to the extent we can make this simple, we should, and not make it as, you know, a typical ICANN process. You know, we have the IRP, which the accountability measures put in place. We still haven't figured out how to convene a panel, and it's 3 years. So let's not make this more complicated than we absolutely have to. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Okay, so our action items. We need to make this as part of the discussion for the hierarchy, see where it would fit in the hierarchy. We need to take if we want to go this path, we want to make a recommendation, there shall be an appeal process involved, or as Alan said, second, there shall be no appeal process. Both, Alan is right, both is possible. Different granting and funding environments have different processes. So that's a general recommendation we have to make. If we make the recommendation for appeal process, we have to put something in the guidelines because it depend on how the whole process is set up for evaluators and how they are shaping it out. We just then make a recommendation, an appeal process shall be involved. If we come to the conclusion no appeal process shall be involved, then we can say this as well. And then we have to deal with the board recommendation, and we will have to give an answer to the board why we believe we can work without an appeal process. So I don't believe we can take this any further today because we need much more time to, and you will need time to review this with your community as well. I want to do, and Alan, maybe you as well, and everybody who was involved in such kind of funding and grant environment, please check the procedures in these environments you work with. I will do this too, just to see best practices and see if in each case an appeal process is actually legally required. I don't know if there, for example, in the US context, there are legal requirements to do this. I have no idea. So a little bit of checking needs to be done here, and then I believe we can take this item forward in the context of all of the other items we need to discuss in relation to the review and evaluation process. Marika, I give it back to you so that you can summarize the item. In the meantime, I check the chat room and we can move forward, please.
Sebastian, I am just online if I can talk.
Absolutely, please.
Yeah, just very short. I wanted to support Alan's position and point of view. I think ICANN is very good to increase complexity on everything. And if we can find a way to decrease the complexity and not to try to overturn any subject, it will be great. And in this case, the way we allocate funds with the foundation organized by AFNIC, there is no appeal mechanism. There is a decision, and that's it. You lose the project. And if we spend time on that and money on that, it's money who will go outside of other projects, and that's not good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your comment. And I see more support for Alan's point in the chat room. So, we have a clear point here. Do we need is an appeal process needed, or can we actually skip this item? We will include this in the hierarchy, the leadership team, which we have to build, and we will include this decision, which we will have to make as well. And in the meantime, we will check if there are any kind of legal requirements which would prohibit the ignorance of an appeal process. I'm not aware about it, but we need to check this. Marika, please.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. So the way that I've written down the CCWG agreement or action item is that, you know, once the hierarchy list has been developed, the CCWG to come back to this comment and determine how this is to be addressed. At that point, the CCWG to consider whether or not there should be an appeals process for individual project applicants. And I put a note here that many express support for not having an appeals process. And if there is a recommendation for an appeals process, guidance would need to be provided for the implementation phase. Also need to address the board's comment regarding applicability or not of ICANN redress mechanisms.
Thank you, Marika. And I just would check, would include one action item as well. Maybe legal can do this, just check whether there are legal requirements which would not allow us to ignore an appeals process.
Erica, sorry, it's Marilyn. Isn't it depending on the allocation mechanism that is selected? Because if, you know, there's no, let me be clear, the BC and CSG have expressed our strong preference for an external mechanism, but maybe in tasking legal with this, it would be trying to determine what the requirements are for an appeals mechanism based on those three options that are still being examined. And I think it would be fairly complicated, I would just say, and again, it's Marilyn speaking, it would be very difficult if we choose option one to keep an accountability, a review mechanism, appeals mechanism outside of ICANN. But I think Sam has commented. My comment would just be, if we're still trying to examine three options, then we might need to understand whether the appeals mechanism applies to one, two, or three, just for clarity.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. It's Erica. I was thinking in much more simple terms. I just wanted to have the question in my mind, maybe in the US environment, there's a general requirement, and whenever, in whatever kind of environments, funding is provided and grants are given, a pre-appeal process must be established. This was my very totally independent from any kind of, structure or funding environment. So I have a much more general in principle, and I think you just need a call to one lawyer, you know, who is working on these kind of issues. Should be pretty straightforward. Yours is much more detailed and it's much more complex. But if, for example, there is a provision which requests whenever funds are provided, there must be an appeal process, then we don't even have to discuss it, because then it's independent from the three mechanisms. Whatever kind of mechanism we will select, we will have to do it. If there is no provision in place, we can skip this item totally if we feel that's what we should do. So, do we agree on this item? There isn't. John Levine is writing, no, there isn't. I'm a trustee of the ISOC Foundation. We don't have one. Some is saying there's no legal requirement to have an appeals process, but there might be an accountability need to have one. Okay, that's a different item. So just let's put the topic in the hierarchy list, and then we come back to it in the future. If there is no provision required, then it's pretty simple. We then just have to take a decision, yes or no. Do we want to establish it or not? And then Sam is raising the question about accountability. That's a little bit a different question, Sam. but we can put this in here as well, just as a reminder that we have to look into it, but it's not the question whether we have need to have an appeal process or not. It's a different one. Marika, back to you.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. I'm not sure if I need to restate the agreements here. I think we already covered those. So there are no further comments in this item. Do you want to go to the next one? We still have
yes,
12 minutes left in this
call. I believe we can maybe handle one more, and if not, at least we have an introduction into the topic and we can finalize it next time.
Okay, just pulling up the next one. So the next one is Annex C and the input that was received on that. And as you may recall, Annex C covered guidance for proposal review and selection. And of course, we just discussed earlier on this call, there is already some additional language that is being proposed to be added here. And I think we have some other items as well where we noted that some additional guidance may need to be provided. So this is a section in any case that we'll see some updates. So the first comment here that's proposed forward by the ICANN board is the CCWG to reconsider the board's communication from January 2018 regarding objectives and Annex C to address potential inconsistencies with the objectives and ICANN's mission. Leadership team has suggested that we should check that the board is concerned that the content in Annex C creates potential inconsistencies with objectives and ICANN's mission, and therefore could result in confusion during application and selection, and may result in challenges against the selection process. Also check that the board is concerned that the content in Annex C, I think that's actually just repeat language, sorry about that. And then it notes that the board asks for clarification on whether these guidelines are intended to modify the principle that the auction proceeds. And I'm not sure if there's something missing in that sentence.
Yes, it's a tricky item. It's Erika. And we had discussed this when we came up with the, to some degree, we had discussed that when we came up with the idea of the examples. So if you remember well, in the history of our discussion, we were concerned that evaluators may be in the future too restrictive in providing support for projects which fall within the mission, but which have a broader nature and maybe to some degree not outside of the mission, but are not sufficiently clear if they are within or without the mission. So what we then said to provide guidance, and the list of examples were just guidance for evaluator. To be able to judge incoming projects, are they, would we regard them as being within the mission or not? So there are now many, of course, such, once you establish such kinds of examples, there are potentially difficult questions arising from such list of examples. The first one would be, if somebody would copy just one of these examples and would put it forward, would this be already, that's a legal question, would this already be provide a potential conflict? The second one would be, which is relates to what the board here actually is saying, are there inconsistencies? And this raises the question to us as those who came up with the list of examples, do we have to review all of these examples which we put in the list and see if there are inconsistencies, or can we just have a general introduction, review the introduction of the sentences, the language we have provided for the examples, and maybe clarify potential inconsistency to some degree. But then, of course, the question arises, are we creating maybe legal risk? And maybe we don't even want to have the list included. Or maybe we have to find a way in, reviewing how we want to put the list of examples forward to future evaluators. Maybe we even want to handle it in a different way. So there are many, I believe, legal questions coming, arising from the comment from the board. So let me check the comments. Do we have somebody from the board here actually today? I don't think so. I can't see Martin, neither Becky. Why don't we do yes,
please? Erica, Alan and Marilyn have their hands up.
Marilyn, please.
I think Alan's hand was up first.
Thank you so much. Alan then first and then Marilyn.
Sorry, that was an error.
Marilyn, then, please.
Thanks. Marilyn speaking. Well, I appreciate having the opportunity to comment on this because the comment noted here, I think that we believe that the board is being overly, the BC, let me put my hat on here. We think the board is being overly cautious and well-meaning, but I think there are ways to address this. We could turn the examples into a background briefing. We can have all these caveating statements that attorneys are really good at. Not a comment about, and I hope this won't go into the comment here, but not a comment about any particular attorney, but hey, I used to work for a big corporation. We hired and fired a lot of those boys and girls. So I know attorneys are really good at creating the caveating language that we, these are illustrative. They're not a commitment to to approve any particular application. We can certainly put that into this session. I think that should deal with this concern raised by certain board members. And I also don't really understand this board statement. Annex C creates potentially constituencies with the objectives and ICANN's mission and could result in confusion during the application and selection and may result in challenges against the selection process. We just said we don't believe that an appeal process is needed. We're going to take a position that no appeals are possible. So perhaps the earlier statement, which is now 15 months old, January 2018, perhaps this could be reconsidered by our two board liaisons taking back to the board. But I do think giving some ideas of the kinds of examples is useful. And frankly, so what if an application is consistent with one of the examples? That's the purpose of having the example, is to give some indication to the evaluators of what is consistent with ICANN's objectives and mission from the community point of view.
Yeah, it's Erica, I agree, Marilyn. Okay, so what we should, somebody else who wants to talk whom I can't see? No? Okay. So we're coming to the end of our discussion today. So what I recommend to do here, Marika, based on short discussion we had here, the concern raised by the board, comment made by Marilyn, by myself, we put forward a a simple question to Martin, not to the full board, just to Martin and to Becky, based on what we just discussed in a simple email, so not an official letter, just a simple email asking for clarification on some of the point based on the discussion we just had. And then we can, in provided we receive an email and Martin and Becky is on the call next time, we can continue the discussion. Marika, are you okay?
Yeah, I noted that down as an agreement here. Yes. Put questions forward to board liaison based on this comment asking for clarification on the input factoring in the CCWG's discussion. And I'll make this an action item for leadership to draft this question.
Okay, thank you so much. And with this, I believe we can finalize the topics of the day. And then can we, when you are ready, can we see the agenda again? Andrea, or who is looking doing this?
Okay, I have the agenda back up now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I don't think so we need to summarize all the action items today, Marika. We have done this at each topic point. So I recommend we don't do a complete summary of all of the action item. It will just take too much time. So the only thing which is left is to confirm our, if there's nobody, no other point somebody wants to raise, just want to ask you if there's anything else you would like to raise. Maybe one question, Marika, do we have some kind of clarification about what is going to happen in Marrakesh now about the time? Can you already talk about it or is it still too early?
Yeah, thanks, Erica. This is Marika. It's still draft. I think we're still looking at an extensive block, I think 3 hours, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it's currently scheduled for Wednesday morning. So it would be good if people pencil that in. And Andrea, if I got that wrong, feel free to correct me. But there are still some moving parts as SOAC leaders are still finalizing high interest and cross-community topics, which could result in some changes. That's what we at least have on the draft schedule for now.
Okay, but we do still have currently an understanding that we may have a slot Wednesday morning for 3 hours. Is this correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so maybe you just pencil, as Marika recommended, the time in your calendar for Marrakesh, and it would be good to hear as well from you who is actually going to be in Marrakesh and who is not going to be there. Maybe we can do a polling about this as well, just to get an understanding, Marika, and we know who is going to be there. We don't have to do it today, just if you can do this by email, maybe.
Yeah, thanks, Eric, and this is Marika. I think once we are more sure that, you know, the slot will stay as is, we can set up a doodle poll to make sure that there's sufficient participation to go ahead.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Okay, then the last item on the agenda is the confirmation for our next meeting, which is on Wednesday again, May 22nd and at 2 UTC, 14 UTC. Thank you so much, everybody, and have a great day, great evening, great morning. And back to you, to Michelle, I believe, today.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. Please remember to disconnect all lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.